All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Black Hearts Club Radio. This is Chrissy,
Cozy Rissa,
and Shadi Shajaya.
And today we are here with Miss Angie Day. She is a social rights activist. You want to tell us a little bit about what you do?
So I'm Angie Day. I am the founder, or we like to call it the conductor, of the Underground 1865. Right now it's an LLC, but we're working on moving it into a nonprofit organization. It's just, we don't want people to like take our name and be able to brand stuff with us as we continue to grow. And so we were founded on Juneteenth of this year, and it was just really important with all the things that were going on. It was like, you're a Black woman. You've always been standing up for like what you believe in. You've always had trouble. My entire life, I was in trouble for standing up for what I felt was right. Like school, elementary school, middle school, high school, it just always happened that way. And I was like, man, all this is going on. And I was so angry with myself because I wasn't doing anything. I was like, you have this big ass mouth and you're not saying anything. Like, this is the problem. And so I was like, what makes me different than that white person who's silent?
Right.
And that's how I started looking at myself. And so then I organized the Confederate Monument protest back on, I think that was what,
that's
June
when I first
2nd?
Seen her.
Yes. Yeah, June 2nd. That was the first one. Like, I had no idea what it felt like to organize a protest. That was my first thing I've ever organized. But like, I kind of helped lead the one at the oceanfront. So I was like, well, you know, let's go ahead and try this. And I just sent out a text message to like 5 people. And next thing you know, we have a huge crowd like just trying to go and do this whole protest. Like, and so after that, just so many people hit me up and was like, hey, what org are you in? And they started associating me with BLM 757. And I was like, you're not about to, not even at all.
Brand.
Yeah. Brand. Right. So people were like, well, who are you? Like, what can we do? How can we get involved in what you're doing? And it was like, dang, what do I do? So that's how kind of the Underground 1865 idea began to be birthed. And then I spoke at a powwow where it was so many white people, like a few Black people and stuff, but it was a diversity event and they did a powwow for George Floyd. And that's when...
And can you describe what that is for people who don't know?
Oh, yes, yes. A powwow is like basically a ceremony that the surf community does for their members of their surf community to die. But they wanted to find a way to honor George Floyd within their community and spread light on his death within their community. So they had a paddle out. And so what they do is like, we had speakers, like we had Aaron Rouse from Virginia Beach Pound. So we had like 2 other speakers speak. And then we surfed out. What was so crazy is like, with a surf out is like, you literally just get on the board, you go out, you paddle out to the center of the water. But I had on jeans. I like was not prepared to swim. I was not prepared to paddle
girl.
And they were like, you want to join us? And I was like, I mean, yeah, why not? So I jumped in the water with my full Black jeans on. They have tons of pictures everywhere. Like, I jumped in with my jeans. I had a crop top. They gave me a surf suit for my arms and, you know, my body, the top part of my body at least. And I just went out there with them. We went all the way to the middle. We formed a huge circle. They threw flowers in the middle, and they lifted the water towards their ancestors to, like, let the body go and stuff. And it was just so beautiful. I was like, wow, you do all this when someone dies in your community? Like, I had no idea. So it was a great way to, like, bridge that gap. And then since then, it's like I just started getting invited to do a lot more with like speaking, where people just wanted to be a part of something that I was in. So that's where like the Underground 1865 came from. And it was just like, what can we do to bring change? What can we do to motivate our people? What can we do to change the stigma on Black organizations that are supposed to be changing the community? What can we do to make sure that our communities are not robbed? You know, and so those things, like, it was just imperative for me to do something, because like, regardless of what other people are doing, like, I know that my personal self, like, my heart is pure. Like, I know that I don't want to profit from things. I know that I would do this for free. Like, I honestly, this sounds crazy, but my lease is up in October, and I'm honestly just thinking about living out my car and just going from state to state and doing this, putting, you know, I just got a P.O. box here in Norfolk, especially with the Underground movement and us getting shirts going and things like that. You know, you want to have a different address. And so I'm just thinking about doing that, because it's just so much change we need. And it's like, who's going to be the voice? Like, who's going to be a real voice? Who's going to be genuine in their intentions? Who's going to be a voice for the people? Because at the end of the day, I'm broke. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I'm a college student. Well, I just graduated from college. And like,
I don't have a lot. I didn't come from a wealthy background and things like that. Whereas some of these people, even celebrities, you know, they've come from poor backgrounds, but they're so consumed in what they have now that they miss what the people of the community are really trying to get. And they're just more so about, like, what they think they want.
Right, so. Because, like, you touched on how different organizations are starting to get a bad rap or whatever. Like, over time, we've seen the reputation that, like, NAACP has, where it's kind of like, we go to them, but at the same time, there's something missing.
Like, uncoachable.
And then with individual leaders, how some of them have came off narcissistic and had their own personal agendas that we find out later. So, seeing, like,
We're laughing because...
We were just at the oceanfront, for instance.
Yeah.
And I was getting really frustrated.
We don't even know his name, but we name names on this podcast. That's our thing. Yeah.
I'm fine with name dropping, but we don't even know his name. And, like, I was getting so irritated because, first off, I wear a full ski mask every time I protest, so it'd be hot. Okay. Second of all, there was a lot going on, and people were already, like, antagonizing the police. Like, okay, I get it. Like, but don't step off the curb, because I'm telling you not to step off the curb.
Yeah.
And it's just this guy there, and I don't know where he came from.
Girl, never I don't seen know him where at he
any
came
event
from.
That I've ever been to. And I go to a lot of events and never seen him. And he's like, lock arms, everybody. Do this.
Three in a row.
Do this. And I'm like, yo, I get what you're saying, but chill out. Like, I organize this. Like, this is what I'm trying to tell you to do. Like, at the end of the day, it's not only I organize this, but it's a whole group of people that help organize this. So who are you?
No, I got it between
she's
them.
I get real. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not scared of a man. Like, I'm not scared. Like, my hands are bisexual. Okay.
Yeah.
I will fight you out. You know, and I'm
sorry. I just seen a whole t-shirt on me, like a cute little crop top.
My hands are bisexual.
He was going, like, crazy.
He was really aggressive toward me.
He had an attitude toward me. And I'm, like, I think I'm an approachable person. And I really try to make sure everyone's voice is heard. But I also realize we have a lot of police officers out here. We have a lot of people that we have to be responsible. Y'all don't have any gas masks. I'm the only person out here with gas masks. So y'all gonna be dead.
That's real.
So next thing I know, because this man didn't listen, literally, like, 5 seconds later,
it was out of my hands, on the floor, handcuffed,
in the middle of the street, because he didn't listen.
It was, like, instant karma.
It was instant karma. It really was. And it was making me feel bad. And I'm like, all right, because I'm not about to argue. She's like, don't argue in front of these people.
Like, what we're not going to do is look stupid in front of these fucking cops and in front of the other people at the march. That's my biggest thing.
This brings up a really good point about misogynistic men in our community and how, like, they don't want women to be in charge of anything. Like,
nothing.
You just come in here, I don't know you. He's like, oh, check my Facebook.
Boy.
Yes, he did say that.
He was like, I'm out here. We don't even know who Facebook was.
Time out, please. He did say that. We all need to catch our breath. Okay, first off. For me, I was like, you know, I'm real benefit of the doubt. If y'all have not caught on yet, that's definitely who I am. And I was like, okay, I can get people that are, like, starting to wet their feet at the protest that don't realize people organize protests. Like,
yeah,
they think everyone woke up
and just said, oh, no, over here.
That was like, I feel like it's going to be over here in downtown. Like, I feel like it's going to be over here at Virginia Beach. Let me just go walk and see if I can find a protest. You know, like, that's my benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe he just woke up and was like, let me search and find.
I think he was on the strip and he joined because people did join. So I think that's what happened. But in his joining,
it's hard not to recognize, though, because, like, I have a huge megaphone. My megaphone literally reaches, like, 50 yards.
And she looks like the most serious one out there.
I'm literally,
like, she has the gun on her hip. She has the ski mask. Like, she
don't be out here, like, we out here. I mean, not all of us.
I mean, but he knew,
he actually knew, like, what was going on. Like, he had came here just for the protest. He was like, oh, yeah, I do this.
He was drunk, though.
I was like, okay, do you? And now you're arrested. So, and we had a bail bond for him, but we didn't know him. We didn't know his name.
Exactly. We didn't know his Facebook.
We didn't know his Facebook.
Right.
Never knew his date of birth, you know.
Nothing.
So I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, well, all right, guys, we're going to head back.
Gather up the kids.
I was like, all right, ready up, guys.
You know, I mean, but that just goes to show you, like, even in protesting, even though it looks like it's not organized, it is organized. And you have to know, like, you have to know what you're doing and how to maneuver out there.
It's a lot.
And please just, like, if you're hearing this and you go to protest, yeah, it's like, do not drink. Do not... Well, smoke.
I don't know.
Don't smoke out there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Especially go home and smoke after.
Right. Like, especially white allies. White allies stop smoking and drinking at our events, because guess what? We'll get locked up for that.
And y'all will get to walk away. Y'all will get to walk away.
And that's period. Because it happens all the time.
Also,
that shit is a party.
They do think it's
or
a party.
Instagram.
They write the sit-in. What, did y'all see the sit-in?
But yeah. The sit-in, I feel like that was different, though.
I don't think it was different. And the reason why I don't think it was different is because, one, it was a sit-in, and the reason was for excessive force in these things. It was for things targeted directly across the, against the police.
Mm-hmm.
And you're literally out there doing illegal stuff that right. If I was to go do it, if I was out there just smoking a blunt, I would have got...
But you know, it's trouble. Legal.
Now it's legal. It wasn't legal at that time. Mm-hmm. It was... Being and it's not legal, it's decriminalized.
Yeah, it's decriminalized.
It's definitely a difference between decriminalized and legal. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how much you have on you. And like, it's so many different stipulations to that.
Yeah.
But even with that, black people still, I mean, that's not just something you can go out and be like, hey, I'm about to walk down the street and smoke weed and no cops gonna stop you. Like, as a black person. And it's like,
not in Virginia.
Come on. And then, like, open containers. Mm-hmm. They had open beers.
They did.
We can't do that. Like, and it's just like... I mean, we really can't do that. I'm just saying, like, we can't. I told them. Like, I put it on a Facebook post. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, I wanted a beer. I ain't gonna lie, girl. You probably had one. It's okay, sis.
Not a beer.
But
a little bit of gin.
I mean,
but it's
okay. Like, it really
but
is.
But don't go out there drinking, y'all.
It really
it
is.
It was a protest. It was a fucking sit-in. We were sitting there for fucking hours. And I had a little bit of gin.
Well,
I was sitting there in
I'll
a fucking tent.
What people do that's not leaders, that's different. You know, that's on y'all. But as me personally, as a leader of the community, I don't feel like leaders or people that are hosting those type of events should be out there drinking. And just because if something goes wrong, then how are you in your right mind to defend a situation? Mm-hmm. And that's just how I feel about leadership in general. Like, I feel like it's important for you to be a strong leader. It's important to recognize the crowd you're in. It's important to recognize the people that are around you. It's important to recognize when some shit just seems really off, and you know, as a leader, your gut tells you that guy I knew something was gonna happen with that guy, because
he
didn't get on my nerves
too high.
And people don't get on my nerves usually. Like, I'm very much like, all right, I can deal with this. I can deal with that, because a strong leader is patience, and that's a trait that I'm working on every single day. So, like, I ask God for patience. So don't be mad when he tries to give it to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But him, I said, yeah, he gonna be the one. He's gonna be the one.
Yeah,
and he wants the one.
Like I said, I mean, you shouldn't. You should. Yes. Okay, you guys. Okay, I was at the sit-in. I did have a little bit of alcohol. But you shouldn't come to protest drunk or high. You shouldn't come to... I mean, because you really never know what could happen. And
so what does happen at a typical protest?
I mean, there is no typical. It's either... I mean, it could go left so quick.
Woo, child.
They start off peaceful always, but you never really know how it's going to go.
Child,
and because you never know how it's going to go, you should
be
sober. You should be sober, yes.
That is my point. Were you at the oceanfront, the first one?
Unfortunately not. Oh, I wish I was.
Girl, no you don't.
Yes, I do, actually.
That was live. That was actually lit. Like, it was a lot of fun, kind of, in a weird way. It was an experience. Like, but I was out there till, like, 12:32 in the morning. Like, the cops were like... I still have a scar from that, like, this battle wound here.
Wow.
What happened there?
They threw something back in the crowd, a piece of glass back in the crowd to the protesters, and it literally hit.
Wow.
Like, it just hit me. It just sucked.
Dang. You got a Meg Thee Stallion moment. Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Minus the bullet. But, I mean, yeah.
She said it was a piece of glass first.
Yeah, it definitely was something. And, like, we got tear gas so much. I didn't have a gas mask.
Yeah.
I didn't have those things available to me. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I do, thank God, because someone, while I was in Kentucky, this girl gave me two, and she just let me keep them. And, I messaged her. She's like, oh, you're good. I'm like, all right, you got money.
Yeah.
But, you know, a typical protest, they really, like you said, they start off silent.
They start off peaceful.
They really do start off peaceful, and then they really just some can end peaceful, like the one where we did in Norfolk. Like I feel like that was
the jail one.
The jail rally one. That was cute. Yeah, I like that one. And because we were able to see the inmates dance on the inside, and you know that gave them some hope. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Even the one like the Confederate Monument protest, I felt like it was peaceful, even though we had children trying to loot and things like that. But we did take them through. One thing I did like about that is we were able to go through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We were able to stop and like let people see us in the neighborhood. Like we're fighting for our community. We want y'all to join us and be a part of this. And so that was really good. But then protests can happen, like the one in Louisville that I just was a part of, where you get arrested. And
yeah,
that's just that. Or the one in Virginia Beach where we had where they just...
They were picking us off one by one, pulling them off.
Literally pulling people off the sidewalk. And you know, illegal as fuck, but people still do what they want to do. And that's a fight that's why we thank God for cell phones and video. But you know, again, they can end up with an arrest, and I think anytime you're going to a protest, like, you have to realize that's a risk, especially if you're vocal. Me personally, even in my Louisville experience, it was like, oh, she's a loudmouth, she's not gonna stop, she's gonna keep saying her name, oh, we're gonna go ahead and pick on her, and that's probably why I look like this, and it's okay. I do it again and again and again, if that meant that Breonna Taylor's murderers were arrested, and that's on period. I'm sure that will not be my last mugshot. I can almost guarantee you it won't.
You were smiling in the mugshot.
I mean, yeah, and my friends.
Hey, you saw that?
My friends have they're getting shirts with Louisville 87 on the back of my mugshot. I don't know.
I'll buy.
But yeah, she's getting
that's a great idea.
And then on the front, it didn't say my hands are bisexual.
Right.
Getting those, and it's just, but it's protesting is, it's hot, it's so hot, like it's hot and tiring, and it takes a lot of energy out of you. It's so important to hydrate during protesting. We see a lot of that where people just don't drink enough water in their normal lives, and then you go out to protest and you think you're just normal and be okay.
Yeah. Another reason why you shouldn't drink and go to a
You will be so dehydrated. Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit more about the Kentucky situation.
Let's talk about it.
What exactly happened? Like, I mean, I know you got arrested, but like, what? Take me from
from peaceful protest to
18 hours in jail.
So it's so crazy. So like, Until Freedom decided, like, hey, we're gonna do this direct action event. So like, everything was really secretive. Honest to God, truth, I didn't know where I was going until like a few days, 2 days beforehand. I knew where I was meeting them for that direct. Like the training, so to speak, but it was more of a decoy. Then we ended up going to a high school, and we marched from the high school to the Attorney General's house. Attorney General Daniel Cameron, y'all need to hear this so y'all can go and call him out on social media.
Okay, Daniel Cameron.
Daniel Cameron, he's the Attorney General handling the Breonna Taylor case. He's a black man.
Oh, a coon. Not a coon.
Glory.
But
Mr. Daniel Cameron, we went and marched peacefully to his lawn. Mind you, he didn't live there, but it was a lockbox on the door.
Ooh.
Let's go for that. Lockbox, no furniture on the inside. They didn't even put the curtains up yet, okay? Right, we go sit on his lawn. First, we're standing in the street, we're protesting down. So then some of us, we go sit on his lawn. We just go
sit on the lawn.
Okay,
I don't
want
trespassing. Who cares about some
trespassing?
That's a citation.
Now I'm starting to see where the
You don't even see it yet. This is the thing. When I tell you the end of the story, they're going to be like, wait a minute. Hold up. Pause. Let me go back. So, we go sit on this man's lawn, right? We will overcome. Like, you know, no justice, no peace. Breonna was asleep. You know, yeah, we want freedom, freedom. We want justice, justice. You know, we singing. We, you know, just on there, just peaceful, sitting on the lawn. I'm literally, any video you look at, you will not see anybody unpeaceful. So, we sitting on the lawn, like, they wouldn't let us walk off of the lawn. So I had my book bag, I had my gun, I had all this stuff on me. I'm like, oh no, this don't look right. So I try to walk to give it to my homegirl. He's like, oh, you can't go nowhere. I'm like, huh? So they hold us all on the lawn, like who were already on the lawn. You couldn't go out. The legal observers could come in and out. So I threw all my gun. I throw my gun at my homegirl. I throw my bag at my homegirl. I'm like, you're not about to keep my gun. I got a nice 380. No, sir. They would have kept that and put that right back on the streets and used it to kill somebody. But that's another story y'all ain't ready to hear yet. So we sit there. We're sitting along one by one, one by one. I'm still chanting. I'm walking around. Y'all okay? I'm giving people Pedialyte. Girl, you know, I don't care. We got the big jugs of Pedialyte. I'm just, because I saved that out of the cooler once I got in the lawn. I saved it. So we give him the Pedialyte, we give him Pedialyte out, and the cop sees me. He says, ma'am, can you put your hands behind your back? And I'm standing up. I'm on live Facebook at this point. Ma'am, can you put your hands behind your back? And I'm like, oh, y'all, I'm getting arrested. Okay, I guess I'm about to go. Mm-hmm. And so he puts my hands behind my back. They, you know, my phone's about to die, so everybody's, like, trying to hook up my phone. They're like, do you want to take the charge? I'm like, yeah, just take it so my phone can stay on as long as it can. Mm-hmm. They take our pictures. They put us in the back of the paddy wagon. We're still staying. As soon as they're about to say her name, like, we didn't resist mm-hmm. nothing. We go head held high. Yandy's out there. Portia Williams, mm-hmm. Trey the Truth, Kevin Stills, the football player. He's out there. Why being Corday? Mm-hmm. He's out there. It's a principal from a school out there. Like, it's a lot of us. We're all getting arrested. They just packing us up in paddy wagons. They didn't have enough room for us, so they had to, you know, bring tons of trips back. It's eight of us in a paddy wagon.
Yeah.
So I got videos and we're chanting because our zip ties, some of us weren't as tight. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get out, fix masks and stuff. So that's how they were recording the back of the paddy wagon. A black officer actually did my pat nail, a woman. And I was like, oh, thanks for actually respecting me and, you know, trying to, like, at least, like, make sure I'm covered and, you know, fix me. Mm-hmm. And so she let my phone stay in my back pocket. So when I got in the paddy wagon, I'm, like, recording because I want everybody to see how close we are. You're not mm-hmm. following COVID in no way, mm-hmm. which everyone has tested negative for COVID so far. I am waiting for my results back, but everyone has tested. I have not been around anyone else other than people I was arrested with, and everyone has tested negative. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I will say that y'all ain't at risk with COVID. My friend who I was just with, they got tested too.
You know what?
I really was with my friend 3 days ago, and they were already getting they got tested. They're fine too. Like, I haven't been in contact with anyone but those people mm-hmm. Since for the protest. But you saw I had on full ski masks and things like that. But anyway, so fast forward, we end up, they put us in the cage part. So we get from the paddy wagon. At the paddy wagon, we get to the jail. When we get to the jail, they leave my group in our paddy wagon for 5 minutes. There's no AC on. They just lock us out there, and we're just chanting, and we're like, get us out of here. It's a video of that, too. Get us out of here. Like, blah, blah, blah. So we ended up, they get us into the little garage, and they have us all chained. I mean, they got people individually chained to chairs, one, two. There's probably six chairs and chains, and then it's like all of us are standing in rows. Like, it's four rows at this point.
What the fuck
and
is
it's literally slavery? From slavery, right?
Hey, what
so
the fuck?
If you're here, right, it's a chain like this. I'm on this chain, but everyone's facing this way. Uh-huh. I'm facing this way. How?
Oh,
I don't
so
know.
They had you opposite.
They had me the opposite way. So I'm messed up. I'm face to face with somebody at this point. So you're chained to me. We're like this, sis. Mm-hmm. So the group is pulling. They're pulling this way.
Oh,
my shoulder is going this way.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So that's the scene. I'm still chanting, still not stopping. I'm up, but I'm like, hey, can we get water? Hey, can we get this? I'm, you know, no, nothing. Mm-hmm. I get arrested about 5:08. My lawyer said they didn't process me until about 9:45. Mm-hmm. So I was in handcuffs for 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Already another problem. Then mm-hmm. we go upstairs. Finally, process. We get in. The doctor, the nurse isn't even using proper, like, she's not, you know how they put the thing on your forehead?
Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to touch.
Right. She's touching, not sanitizing after. I had to tell her, like, hey, yo, sanitize that. Like, what are you doing? So, and we ended up going to jail and just spending, I spent a total of about 20 hours, 20 and a half. I was actually being nice to myself with the 18. But I spent about 20 hours in there, actually. And we wrote, like, we used toothpaste to write on the thing, free us, say her name, Breonna Taylor. You know, just they were pissed off. They hated us so bad. Like, they denied us food for over 10 hours.
Damn.
We got sandwiches, which had 4 pieces of bread in a piece of plastic wrap, 2 mm-hmm. slices of turkey, 2 slices of Kraft cheese, a condiment thing wrapped in it. Mm. That's what they gave you in plastic wrap. And you made your own sandwiches. You were supposed to be able to make 2 sandwiches. And then that was when we first got in. That was that night. Like, we got that maybe 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock. Then they denied us food. Until the next morning, they said we missed breakfast. They laughed at us when we asked for breakfast. Like, not that it was going to taste good. I didn't eat anything. I fasted the whole time I was in there. I'm not
Girl,
touching
that.
Girl, I
don't want to eat that shit.
Yeah. So then we ended up, like, they ended up bringing us breakfast after, like, 15 hours maybe, bringing us lunch, those sandwiches again. Mm-hmm. But they had cookies this time.
I guess y'all was quiet last night.
Y'all got a little cookie.
And they was like,
Oh, fuck no.
It was hard.
It's so ridiculous.
They had mold on the ceilings. My face broke out so bad. It was mold on the ceilings. And like then they, you know, you have to use the bathroom in public. So there's a toilet there. We're like holding sheets around each other to use the bathroom. They did not women feminine products for hours. So if a woman had a tampon in, she probably would have had toxic shock.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They like, it was actually really an experience. Like it was definitely hard. They denied me ice. That's probably the reason my hand is so bad, because they denied me ice for the whole time I was in there. They denied medicine, so a girl had like a nervous breakdown in there.
So basically all of the basic needs that these people need.
It's the denying feminine products for me, because that's really like, that's gross.
Yes, that's what a massage
but that's yes, but typical
when you that's go what I'm saying. In, that is like just typical. Horribly to say, and that's one of the biggest things that they get caught on whenever it is a lawsuit, is that
thing.
But it is very typical. They just don't expect anybody to speak up about it afterwards.
Yeah, it was really harsh to see that people even
bleed.
Bleed
one way or another.
It was bad.
Yeah, no cap. They either gonna shoot you,
gunshot.
They gonna deny you fucking.
I just can't. I really can't fathom that.
Like, I don't know how the girls didn't leak through or how they didn't, like, I mean, they probably, their clothes, I'm sure, were a mess underneath.
Yeah,
their jeans probably held it or whatever. Because it was two girls that they were denied their feminine products in my cell block. That was, and we had, I believe, she took up 4 cell blocks because we had 26 of us in mine. They didn't even have 25, I think. No 6 feet apart. Like, all those things, mold on the ceiling, then like the food, denying us food, denying feminine products, those things. Then like my friend, he got shot in his leg, so he needed a blood thinner medicine. They denied that. You know, he had gotten his shot in his leg here, out this area. He's from here. And then like, what else? Like then one guy was like trying to hide his name because he thought it was so funny. They laughed at us when we said Breonna Taylor's name. It was really just sad. And then I think what was the coolest thing though is like, one thing that was really interesting is we had really hard conversations while in jail.
Right.
With a group of women, you go through a lot of different emotions in 18 hours. I mean, it's a lot of emotions, even just because we're all confined in this one place. We don't know each other. You know, it's just a lot of things. We got white people, we got black people, and like some white people don't know how to say certain things. Some black people don't know how to say certain things. So that was interesting. A lot of education happened. I think there was, that was good. We did, like, we get creative. We bowled in there. We used the cups they gave us for overnight. And we made bowling pins out of those. And we took the nasty sandwiches and wrapped them in plastic wrap. And like,
made the ball. So
that's what we did the last 6-7 hours. Like, the last 6 hours, maybe. But, I mean, it was just something to pass that time. And, you know, one phone was broken. So, we were only, like, it was kind of jacked up. So, like, we were preferring to use another phone. Like, then we, like, they were giving so much misinformation. Like, my mom was able to tell me my charges. But, like, well, our families were able to tell us, like, our charges and stuff. But, like, they were giving all the people wrong information. They were saying, like, one group had all gotten out instead of us. Like, they were, like, egging it on. Like, making it really hard. So, people were starting to, like, lose their cool in there. Me, personally, I probably could live in jail because I'm already by myself all the time. So, it doesn't really bother me. But I think the conditions is what was the thing. You know, it's
girl,
not, they, at 18 hours, y'all could have put me in a bed and dressed me out, okay? Because I would have been fine in a bunk. But to be out there for 16 hours, just, like, not having access to anything, we were using, like, soap to write on the walls and, like, write numbers down, our attorney numbers, because it was fading and things like that. So, we were really in there, like, just being resourceful, and it made me realize, like, why people in jail are so creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was definitely hard. I met Breonna Taylor's mom, and that was a really interesting experience. It was powerful, like just very powerful. It's a lot of hurt there, but it's a lot of love too. She still works, not because she necessarily has to, but because the one thing that keeps her occupied. She's a dialysis nurse, and so that's pretty good for her. So I met some of her family members. Ahmaud Arbery's mom was there too. I didn't get time to talk to her, so that was disappointing. But, you know, Tamika Mallory is the one who organized it, and Linda Sarsour and Until Freedom. And so it was a really good networking technique. Like, me and Kevin Stills, like, you know, he likes my photos. I message him and he'll reply. Like, you know, they actually helped me out because I was out of work. So because of them, I was able to get a new phone. Like, this one isn't fixed, but like it's, I have a replacement for it. It just hasn't been able to back it up. Mm-hmm. Because it's someone like with this field I'm in, this phone blacked out. Like once the police did that to my phone, it was done. Like, wow. So they grabbed my phone so tight, like that's why the cracks happened when he snatched it. So because I picked up my phone for my friend, I was like, yeah, girl, right. Listen to this. Like, yeah, oh yeah, I'm glad you called, actually, you know. Yeah. So that happened, but they had given me money because I just happened to tell them, like, hey, I'm out of work, like I do customer service on the app to type, I can't mm-hmm. physically do it. Mm-hmm. And so like they were just really nice, and just, I mean, it wasn't like $1 million, but it was enough that I could pay like mm-hmm. for me to get a replacement phone. Yeah. You know, and so that was, they didn't have to do that. But they're very humble, and it was really, it was different. Like, it was fun. Like, I'll do it again. I can't wait to do it again. Like, you know, and just our next event of action.
Yeah.
She's like,
so like, I mean, I'm still stuck on the no pads. Like, everything you said after that.
No pads.
I'm sorry. Because, I mean, that's really just
bloody mess. And then, mind you,
how, like, do you sit there and allow that?
And mind you, you're in the toilet was, like, in this corner. But it was right. The back corner.
Yeah.
Like, literally. So, and then this is it's a bench here. People are laying there. Like, mm-hmm. on this bench. Like, it's not even as wide as this. It's like half.
And there were
size.
How many of y'all in the
26
in the cell?
Mm-hmm. Total.
In the cell?
Total in the cell. And the cell was probably the size of this area, including your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a, man, I'll give it a little bit longer. It was probably, like, where your suitcase is.
Mm-hmm.
That. 26 people sitting, laying on the floors. Like, I won't lay on the damn floor.
Fuck no.
But people were doing it because they gave us blankets and stuff, and they laid out on the blankets, and it was just nowhere else to sit, so let's pick the floor. Yeah, like, it was really intense, and this is where people are using the bathroom. There's no toilet cover.
Right.
The toilet and the sink are connected. Like,
it's like taking away any type of humanity.
Dignity.
And mind you, the sink was right by the fucking window.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were, like, putting blankets up in front of people. And, like, I couldn't imagine, like, somebody in front of me with a blanket and my blood. Like, I'm just a bloody mess.
That's what I'm saying.
I would hate it. I mean, I couldn't imagine being her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how my cycles are. And I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it
would have
just been ugly. I mean, I would have blood everywhere. It would have been on my pants. It would have just been bad.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, how do you.
And then we got, like, and. Tamika, Brianna's mom, she mm-hmm. was outside for a lot of time with us, and she was waiting for a lot of us while we got released. She wasn't able to stay the whole time because of work at 4 a.m, but like she goes in at like 4 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But she was out there for a lot of the night, and that was dope too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people outside when we got out. Like, it was so many people, news people still, like, there was a lot of stuff. I wasn't really interested in any of the TV fame, any of that.
Yeah.
I'm just more so like, what can we do, like, to keep this momentum? What can we do to get these killers behind bars?
And now you have to go to court.
Yeah, I have to go to
court. That's what we have to do.
My bad.
So,
I got arrested for peacefully protesting. They gave us all, I forgot that part, 87 of us felony charges. The felony was intimidating a government official. So this white girl posts
intimidated
Daniel Cameron, the black.
But he doesn't live there. Remember
but
that?
it's an investment property from what we saw that brings him down. Second of all, the other part of that is we damn sure didn't look intimidated. If y'all Google it, please do your research and look at Bill 87.
Do your
if you Google it, like, you will see it. This white girl posts a picture. She's like, damn, I look so intimidated. She's just sitting there like.
Right.
You know, it was just hard. And then the other one was disturbing the peace. Mm-hmm. Or disorderly conduct. You got one of the two, depending on if you were like chanting, like me. I got disorderly conduct, and then trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
So I got two misdemeanors and a felony. The felony they dropped from all of us. They dismissed it with prejudice, which means that we can now sue them because they unlawfully imprisoned us.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of shot themselves in the foot.
One charge that was actually applicable, which was the trespassing.
Yeah,
disorderly conduct. That wasn't
trespassing. That's a bullshit. I don't even think that's a charge.
Once you go to somebody, once you go,
but that's not
property,
even
that is trespassing.
It's like, private property, but technically, it's an investment property. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his.
Right.
Like,
it's still like if you
trespassing, but for him, so he is a black man, for you to get all these people arrested and all these felony charges on black and brown people, knowing that if you're a felon, you can lose your job. If you're a felon, you can do 1 to 5 years, but
you don't get the right to vote.
You can't carry a gun. They can just shoot you in the street. But yet, you can't arrest the murderers that killed our sister Breonna Taylor. You damn sure ain't one of us.
He's a
cool. All skin folks
are not kin folks.
And that's on period.
We was talking about that on the last fucking episode.
Yes, we were. Because, I mean, it's...
We not gonna bring him up. Stop.
What?
Question for you.
I want to know why. All right. Take over my podcast. Go ahead.
To bring up Mr. Boom. But
yes, we are about to bring up. Yes, we are about to bring him up. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are about to bring up Boone the Coon. Fuck Larry Boone, and that's all I have to say about that. Go ahead and say a question.
Okay, so you had said earlier, way early on, that you got in trouble a lot growing up in school when it came to like speaking up for things that you thought were wrong that you didn't believe in. Do you feel like there's any difference between back then when you were maybe like speaking up for yourself versus speaking up for another person?
I think all my life I've always been better at speaking up for other people than myself. I've been constantly that person that people run over. I'm that constantly that person that people, hey, can you help me? Can you give me a ride? Here, I got you. Like, I'll take you. Like, you know, don't worry about it. Like, I just drove my friend up to Elizabeth City, you know, like, I used his vehicle, but, like, I had to, that was my time of the day going, you know what I mean? Like, some lunch, you know, you buy me lunch, I can buy my own self lunch, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just a part of, like, trying to be that support and that constant, like, stronghold for people. So I feel like now where I have grown is, like, I still do the same things and I still have that same fire and passion, but I feel like I stand up for myself more too. Like, for instance, even with the Underground 1865, this guy, he was very resourceful. He was a mixed guy. So, you know, if he ever hears this, he'll know it's about him. But he asked to be like the co-face of the Underground. And I'm like, you've had a movement for all this time. Why do you now want to be a co-face of something that I found as a young woman? You know, and me personally, like, the Underground is great, like, and having a base here, and like, yes, obviously I need a board of directors, you know, obviously I'd have to have a strong team, but like, my goal is not to stay here in the 757. My goal is that this is like a movement where it's like virtually moving, but it's actually like, hey, I've connected with people here, so that when they see us, they know that we're here to make connections. Like, my next, like, for instance, we're doing the bus trip to DC. It's $45 early bird special, lunch is included. Where the Underground has shirts that we just dropped today, 15% is going towards food for that bus trip.
Yeah.
So that's just, and then the second amount of that is going towards buying the basic stuff that we need because I want to host a wellness event. So, and just teach people about spiritual food and all those things. So it's like a lot of other things that come with leadership. But for me, it's just learning how to, now I definitely will say I stand up and I'm more about standing up for myself too. Like, you can't just stand in front of everybody else, but then let people walk all over you. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Where did you guys come up with the idea for the logo for Underground 1865?
So, the logo actually came from, my cousin made it. He made both of our logos, actually. And I'm working on getting those, like, trademarked and stuff like that this weekend, just because, you know, people are crazy, though. Yeah. But it's really expensive to trademark.
Yes, it is.
It's like $400. So... It's definitely my goal for this weekend. Like, thank God for that check they owe me, you know? Like, so I'll definitely be using some of that to trademark the logos. But we wanted to show something that was breaking down those chains. Because the chains aren't just physical chains, obviously. They're emotional chains. They're economical chains. They're educational chains. There's barriers that we have, political, healthcare. There's so many barriers that we have. Real estate, housing, all of those things. Bank loans. You know, like, if we go into our history, and, man, I'm going to have to come back so we can talk some more, like, for real. But, I mean, it's so much that we get the short end of the stick for as our, you know, as Black people. And so... Yeah. That's so frustrating. And so that's one of the reasons why I was like, okay, you know, let me go with my cousin. And my cousin actually did both logos for free. He has a lot of logos that he does, but he took the time to do it for me. I like them in black and white. I like them in any form. But that's where we got that. And then, of course, the Underground 1865. Obviously, the Underground Railroad was a covert system. And so, you know, people that even helped the slaves, they didn't know the whole plan. And so a lot of that's why it's called the Underground, because you may not know all the plan, but you will know that this is the plan and this is how we're going to execute it. And so even with little things that we've already done within the Underground, people haven't known the whole plan, but they've known enough that they want to be a part of the plan. And I think it's important that everyone doesn't have their feet and hands in so much, because this war is real. And like,
we don't even use real names. Because guess what? You're not going to snitch on me.
Exactly.
People do know. Everyone does know my real name in my group because I know their real names. I'm the only one that knows everyone's real names and things like that. Mm-hmm. Just for security measures in case of emergency and things like that. But it's like, you don't need, I don't want you to know everybody's name. And I don't want you, to know where we got this from and where we got that from. And then you go snitch on me. Like, you know, so it's just, that's one of the reasons why we wanted this, it to be called the Underground, because of that covert system, that idea of having a conductor, that idea of moving from station to station. That's exactly why I want to move from state to state. Just little things like that. And then, of course, 1865, Juneteenth, we got our freedom. We were officially free. We didn't know we were free for 2 years, you know, and that's why I keep saying this Emancipation Proclamation. It frees some of the slaves, but it ain't sure, it sure didn't free all of them.
Yep.
And so it's just about being able to educate, motivate, and liberate our people. Like, that's all the Underground 1865 is. But our biggest thing is to push past the barriers of our oppressors and create unity amongst all people by any means necessary. And I am big on by any means necessary. I mean that.
20 Gun hours, on the hip. 380. Yeah.
20 hours in jail. I'll do it again. I say that honest to God truth. It won't shake me. A little jail time. That's exciting. That's getting my... The only thing jail did to me was liberate me in a different space. Because it made me realize that this is what you did for my ancestors. And if you thought 18 and a half hours was going to do something to me after 400 years, oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. I laughed. That's why I was able to laugh in my mugshot, because y'all funny.
You got to see the mugshot. Like,
okay, so yes, and I do have that mugshot.
Y'all got to see the mugshot. Because if I would have seen the mugshot without knowing context, I would have been like, this bitch is crazy. But no. She is crazy in a good way.
She looks so childish. She
looks like a little bum. And it's so funny.
So intimidating.
Because I did. Right. I was right. So intimidating. Oh my God. I'm like Minnie Mouse. Like, what the heck? It's funny because I did that, like, in the back of a paddy wagon, I think. Like, I just put something up in my hair just because I just wanted them to just be annoyed. The more I could annoy them, the better. And so that is, like, who I am.
That is funny as fuck.
Yeah. That mugshot was real. It's some funnier ones. I'll make sure I show them to y'all.
There were some of the... I saw the ones of the other
like
people.
Cheesy.
They were laughing. Cheesy. One guy was like... Yeah! I saw one guy and he was like...
Yeah, I was like, woo, like a kitchen cabinet. Okay?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was real. Like, it was a great experience. Like, I would... If for a protester, I think it's a different experience. If you're just somebody that get locked up for dumb stuff, that's different.
Yeah.
But for you to get locked up for expressing your right, but yet these murderers are walking free, like, I mean,
and laughing at people,
and laughing,
the night,
making a mockery,
fuck,
not giving people pads in jail.
We were like,
I don't understand that still.
Brianna was asleep. Brianna was sleeping, like something like that. Some chant goes like that, and they were just like, the officer in Stevens with the Louisville Metro Police Department laughed in our faces. He also broke my phone, so y'all call him out. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, and he is probably the one that handcuffed me so tight that I can't move my wrist now, but it's okay. You about to lose your job.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. All these racists the fuck out. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
I wish we could. Like, I wish we could just, like, and you know, those are the ones that they need to send to war. Like, those are the ones that need to
send.
And y'all love guns so much.
Right. Because there really don't need to be over there doing
and
that shit either.
They're just invading territory that they don't even know why they're invading it for.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's really no need.
Well, y'all gonna stop coming for me and my job.
Girl, fuck your job. And fuck your boss.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but he gotta fucking go.
I just gotta say
all
record.
Gotta fucking go.
Y'all, he's not coming for me and my boss and my job. Because everybody don't like Cheetos, but I do.
You fucking mad.
I always be forgetting that you work for the Hot Cheeto Company, child. Incorporated. Hot Cheeto Incorporated.
I weep.
I weep for you. But I mean,
I wear my uniform proud though.
Even
you know what?
I feel like
I'm taking a spot as somebody who do got some psychological issues with racism that could be
in
you know,
that
using
position.
That position of power for something else. So I wear my uniform with pride.
It's good that you're in that type of position because you're using your power wisely.
I mean, as long as you're not a cop.
I mean,
You still a feds. As long as you're not a cop.
Baby. She's anything. You know why? Because at the end of the day, ain't nothing going to change until that leadership change.
Yep.
And you got to start out at a motherfucking.
To be honest, the only way to change the system is to infiltrate it.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Yep. And I mean, you should know better than anybody.
No, I am low-key an anarchist. Okay, I don't believe in none of this shit. So, no, I shouldn't.
Really?
I mean, you see the A right there. Like, yeah. I'm low-key an anarchist. I don't believe in none of this shit. Really. So,
I personally just believe in fighting for what's right and being the change. Like, that's just me in general. Like, I've always been like that. That's just me. I remember in middle school, like, there was a thing and they were like, oh yeah, y'all gonna all have a sign seating because they just kept fighting in the cafeteria. Excuse me, I'm in eighth grade, what you thought? And I started a petition and like got everybody to sign it and they changed the rules. And you know, that's just who I've always been. I remember in elementary school they were going to Hershey Park and I was like, man, I want to go. I was in the grade, like the classes that were with like middle schoolers, but I was in fifth grade, so they were like, you can't go. And like, oh man, to this day my granddad talks about it because I was outside and everybody was standing around me, and he's like, what are they doing? He thought, like, he didn't know what was going on, so he listening. He, like, I can get out the car, you know, he's listening. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, I was rallying the people, and I ended up going on that trip. So that was just, like, just things.
We love to see it. Yeah, you're right. We have, we love to see it.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's just because, I mean, you got to stand for something, even young, you know. And it's, like, it's a lot of leaders out here. But it's just, you have to be, some people you have to have the confidence to be a leader. I never had confidence. If I had the confidence, I'd probably be way ahead of myself now. You know, now I'm just starting to come out of this and have more faith in who I am. You know, even with dropping shirts, I was nervous about that because I'm like, this might not be. You know, people might not want to buy them. But guess what? If 10 people buy them, that's good enough for me. If two people buy them, it's good enough for me because it's what I'm about. And it's about pushing that we need to unite and we need to change and we need to... If I can just unite people, then I'm doing my job. If I can break down stigmas, then I'm doing my job. Like, if I change one life, I'm doing my job. And people get so caught up in the amount of numbers. But the numbers don't mean shit if the people aren't comprehending you. You can hear me, but are you comprehending?
Yep.
I want you to feel me. Like, if you're not moved by the things that I'm saying and the things that I'm doing, then I'm not doing enough. Just that simple. I'm just not doing enough. Because I want you to feel me. I want you to feel my passion. I want you to know that it's real. I want you to know that it's true. I want you to feel that I'm transparent. But I want you to feel the honesty. I don't want to walk around and be like, oh, I'm doing all of this, but it's all fake. And it's all like, oh, let's just go rob our community today because that's okay.
Right. The most impactful movements throughout the history of civil rights have always been what's like the smallest movements. Not getting up on a bus. Like, I don't care if it was because she was tired or if she was just like, I'm tired of y'all. But not getting up on that bus, like, you would think, when has sitting ever been such a big thing in light of anything? Like, before Rose?
Look at Colin Kaepernick.
Come on now.
He kneeled. And, like, he still don't have a job. You know what I mean?
His knee might have hurt. We don't know. But
he kneeled.
Hypothetically,
That Tim Tebow, that little, you know, that prayer move. Everybody calling Kaepernick.
But that's very true. That's a very valid point to say as well. Mm-hmm. And that's very true. And I think even, it's funny because like when I started the Underground 1865 Instagram page, I had like 10 followers. I was like, nobody's going to follow this. Like, but now it's like almost 400, you know? And so it just takes some time. Yeah. But I've figured out, even with trying to start this, it's been hard because people say they're about this, but they're not really about this. They're not really to put their... It's easier for me to just do everything and be the underground myself than to have a team sometimes. Because that's how hard it is to find people that are dedicated and who are really on the same page, but who also want to respect the fact of leadership. Because with me, the underground is... Nobody should know that you are the underground.
Right.
Like,
but that's what everybody wants. They want to be known.
But I also feel like, too... I feel like also, too, though...
I'm just head out.
Because I understand,
why are you
calling
the underground if we're not going to be underground? I didn't even want to go public with the underground.
Like, yeah, I remember she said that.
That was not my goal to be public. But because people wanted to donate, but they don't know who they're donating to, that was the hardest part.
Yeah.
Now people want to connect. Now people want to share the stuff. Now people want to be a part of the stuff because they have a trusted person they know. When there are people with the underground, what I hoped for was my initial team
the way that it was supposed to work, that everyone was supposed to be fully masked at every event. From this here. So you should not, I mean, I'm not going to know it's you. I'm confident that I'm not going to know with half of this, but we were initially going to do like ski masks. Mm-hmm. It's hot, so I get it. Like, and it's also, that's not something we're going to always be able to get away with is ski masks. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I get that. So that's why everybody would be full, like, you know, hey, we're going to do a 3/4 face mask. Because at protests, what happens is, it's not even about necessarily you not being known with the underground, but it's like when you walk the protest, it's a risk. I'm already a walking target. I've had people try to take off my mask in public. So at the Bryant Town Center, somebody tried to do that. So if somebody's trying to,
like, I ain't no Huey out here. I ain't no Asada out here. We need to know where the head is, so we cut at the head. That's exactly what it is.
If somebody's out here doing
identify you.
Right. Then so now they identify me, but now they're going to identify all my people with me because y'all have a mask on. You don't have to. That's the goal of the mask. And that's why I'm so big on covering ourselves, because I feel like it's necessary to have that mask on. And then plus, like, if we want to go fuck some shit up and everybody know you're in the underground, then what? They know who to They know who to go to. And that's
not even as big as if we want to fuck some shit up. If they plan to do something on their own, they are now already associated with you.
Yeah.
So you just guilty by association at that point.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, okay, it's a certain way to do things. And
that's what happened with the Black Panther Party, a version of that.
Yep. So, yeah, as far as, like, having the, but that's why there ended up being that separation from the Black Panther Party, and there was some people that formed
the Neites.
The Neo Party. Something like that. They formed another party because they were not trying to do the same things. That's why I said, like, if you don't want to do the same things, then go form your own shit or do it by yourself. But if I'm your leader and you say you trust me, and if I'm your leader and you say you want to be a part of what I'm doing, then there has to be some level of respect, because I'm not going to lead you into a blind
From the lips of a woman. I just want y'all.
Yes.
From the lips of a woman. If that is your leader, from the lips of a woman, and you trust her, from the lips of a woman,
then trust her.
Like, then let God be a she. Yes. I'm just saying.
Like, really, because I, and I think with us women, we don't get enough credit. Like, when we got arrested, only 26 of them people were men. Women stood tall in that jail. Women. Out of 87, you got almost 30 men.
Please. Okay. Think about the ratio.
That's a huge difference.
It's just so interesting, especially for you to say that, because we just see, like, in our history how Black women stand up for Black people, period.
And they don't stand up
for us. Like, Black men.
And even for other people's movements.
You know, like, Black men don't seem to be.
We out here fighting for LGBTQIA, but then some of them don't even like Black LGBTQIA. How you gay and you don't like, they not ready for it.
They not.
I mean, we talked about that here, though.
And the same.
Like, we talked about that here.
And the same shit with feminism.
I was going to bring that up, too.
First of all, what is feminism? What about womanism? Because feminism was catered to white women.
Sure was.
I was going to ask you about that, too, because I don't really, I mean, I don't know. People say that I'm a feminist, but I don't identify as anything, really. I don't say I'm a feminist.
I would say you're a womanist because you're believing for women, equality with women, and, like, all women. Like, feminism was a movement that was catered towards white women. It wasn't a woman. It wasn't a woman's movement. It was a white women's movement.
Okay.
And so, they haven't really evolved over time.
Not at all.
Some women blindly call themselves a feminist, but they don't know the history behind it, which is fine, whatever, fuck it. But then the women who are leading feminism, they're still on that same shit where they're not trying to make it equal amongst all women. They want to make sure that their pay and their quality of lifestyle is equal to their counterpart, the white man. That's the distinction between feminism and womanism for people who didn't know.
I don't know, I just never really identified as either.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I just believe, like,
people have called me a feminist
respect,
before.
Like, right is right, wrong is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's how it should be, but there's so many labels on so many things, which is why it's so complicated and why it's so, like, hard to keep up with what's what.
Yes, everybody wants to be relatable, but no one wants to be related to something that's Has any type of negative path.
Everybody wants to listen to our music, but nobody wants our blues.
Yep.
That's just that.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about that, how a lot of stuff has been compartmentalized within the communities, with all communities, all humans, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. So now, instead of, let's say, black people collectively targeting racism from white people, now it's like, oh, we're also trying to combat the things within our community, and that at the same time, which all of these things need to be fixed, but it's hard to come to a conclusion of, okay, how do we take from step A to B, C, D?
I see they were talking about that, like, on Twitter, because they were talking about, like, us trying to fight police, and then in the middle of us trying to fight police, it got somehow turned into black men don't protect black women,
and that's why I really was trying to feed into that. It's like y'all want to find the rapist thing.
Like, they were like, well, y'all want to bring up that, and it's just like, I feel like all of this is
interconnected.
It's interconnected, absolutely. And it's bringing, like, you pull back layers. Like, one thing shows another thing, and that shows another thing.
I think they're just intentionally trying to pull back layers.
It's not intentional, but truth always points to another truth, though.
It's just a lot of conversations are happening that didn't happen before. I think that's just what it's a matter of. But I will say that all of this still stems from the white man.
Yep.
And that's where all these problems stem from. Because guess what? Crime within the black communities, let's look at the war on drugs. Let's look at where these drug addicts came from. They pushed the drugs into they pushed guns. Black people ain't go to Cuba. Come on now, during the 60s.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, black people didn't go to Cuba to get these drugs. They pushed it. The government pushed this stuff into our community and then declared a war on drugs so that they could incarcerate, mass incarceration for black people and keep their jails running, get people addicted on crack, addicted on marijuana, just so they could get them in the system and then keep having a revolving door. And that's what they did. So not only was one person doing crack, but then they got their friends doing the crack, then their cousin doing crack, the whole neighborhood doing crack, everybody going in jail, revolving door. When one person goes to jail, the other person got to come and sell crack because everybody need crack now. That's what it was. And that's what the 13th.
And fuck Ronald Reagan.
I was gonna say, y'all know whose fault this is. It's Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's fuck a lot of fault. It ain't just him. And you know what? Unpopular opinion continued on with Mr. Clinton, okay? Go ahead and lead into how black people love him so much.
They really do.
The crime bills that he passed
were not helpful for the black community whatsoever. I definitely do agree, Kater.
Clinton, the only thing that Clinton did was he was not outwardly racist, I don't even think this man is racist. I've met Bill Clinton, actually, and I had a great experience with him. I met him in my senior year of high school, but I will say that instead of Bill Clinton standing up and being the fucking man that he is, because I think he's a man of great stature and character, but I think what it is that he allowed his white counterparts to control too much, and he didn't let his voice be heard the way he should have. Because when I met him when he was campaigning for Obama, that man was very powerful, and it was very clear that he loved black people. It was very clear that he loved our community. It's just very clear that he was
a pushover back then.
Maybe now he might not be. I don't know. But back then, I think that had a lot to do with it.
I think when you're campaigning as a politician, you find an audience that you know is going to be
the one
to vote for you. And then you find your deficiency in a large audience that you're going to need the support from.
Right.
And many times, over and over, it is the Republicans of the South, the same ones that had suffered economically when the slaves were freed, the same ones that took to opening up their little pops for the little black boys that ain't have pops, privately owned prisons, and feeding us in through that 13th Amendment loophole, them same ones that want somebody in power that's going to continue to feed that entire monster. And you may not have the same goal as they have, but you do want that vote. And I think a lot of politicians fall victim to knowing that that's a majority vote that they're going to need in order to get into that office. And once you get there, you got to give them something. Like, you have to keep your word on something.
And I think, you know, part of being a party's party, but, you know, if we think about it, black people used to be Republicans.
We definitely did.
We started off.
So they burned down Wall Street.
Black people were Republicans. Yeah, I mean, we voted Republican. We were Republican Party.
Listen. This is
is back in the 1800s.
Like, when the Constitution was
Federation type of stuff. Like, yeah.
This we, is back then. We were
black people started off on the Republican Party because our values aligned with theirs at that time.
And do you know that? So there's a video.
But you can't think of it like I keep saying. I tweeted that shit on Twitter. Don't apply 2020 logic to anything in history.
Right, because what they did was, this is what they did. They so terrible. What they did was, so because the Republican Party was doing so well with the black eyes, they changed the way that the media perceived the Republican Party. So that's how black people started voting Democratic, because we moved into the Democratic Party once they made us look so bad as Republicans and made us seem like we were out here trying to just take over as black people and end white power.
Supremacy.
Right.
Which, when
so you ask how that happened, but that was years, and that kind of... In North Carolina, at one point, black people took over the majority vote when it came to Republican. Like, yeah, they took over.
You know
what
they did? In Wilmington?
Yeah, Wilmington. That's in North Carolina. Wilmington, North Carolina, sis.
Girl.
Know your education.
Because it still get me mad to this day. And when you go there and you see that burned down lot.
Yep.
People make me mad. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, just...
Yeah, it's a lot of history.
It's going to take too long to try to explain that.
Tell them what you're talking about.
That portion of it. So, in Wilmington, there was a... It wasn't even black-owned. That's the thing about it. There was a media company that ran a newspaper outside of the city... inside of the city of Wilmington. It wasn't even black-owned, but it did employ some black people. One of them was a black man. I cannot recall his name at this time. Was a black man who was very vocal to the point that when Birth of a Nation was released and portrayed black men as the rapist stereotype that were out to get white women, he wrote a beautiful article. Girl, it's still, Google it.
They
it's wrote, online.
The article was so good, but what they did was they made it into
a... I need to take a step back. Go ahead. Why he wrote article. Okay, before he even wrote the article, right? Birth of a Nation came out, whoop-de-woo. This Karen of the 1800s.
Woo!
Karen's always been around.
Really, she was a Gertrude, because she was up there in
Gertrude.
The Gertrude wrote an article, and she said, Birth of a Nation is so beautiful because it accurately portrays the black male.
Oh my God.
But she don't even know a black man.
To come out the white woman.
Oh my God.
Gertrude, quote that. So then our brother go ahead and write a beautiful article that says, Gertrude, it is so funny how you try to say that black men are typically the ones raping white women when it's always the white women that are coming after black men. Girl, it when was, I said a white man and woman to
me, it was a clap back. Like, when I mean, it was a classy throwback, was, savage, classy, ratchet. I mean, it was
clap back. Like, this is what would have been trending.
Like, that's
Twitter.
Wait. Like, yes, like that would have been trending, that letter. Because he was like, wait. So you telling me that we raping your woman, but they the ones who want to
see
us?
But they the ones always coming after us.
They want this big daddy. Okay.
And put it in there.
He put it in there like our big, like he
printed
was dead
and ran. I don't know what white man that owned this company let my brother go ahead and print this. But girl, it to print. Okay,
it printed, but then the backlash. What they did was they reversed it so bad that made it look like he was an angry black man, and he was saying that they,
of course.
Like, girl, they wrote a 3-page article in response to his one little column article.
Damn, and that was
and
the
said,
end of it.
Oof. You know what? At the end of this day, if you are not out of our city, we're arresting you. Okay, y'all. Okay, pause. The words were, we are arresting you, right? He did not commit any crime. He used his First Amendment rights. And y'all gotta better believe that their arrest was gonna be
some bullshit.
It was gonna be some bullshit. So this man left. I really wish I knew like where his lineage ended up and whose strength is running with his veins to this
girl.
Right. If you're hearing this and you know it, reach out to Shadi Sharjaya on Twitter. Trying to link because your father's father, okay,
father.
Was probably fine as fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he's probably fine as fuck.
That
if you look anything like he sounded in that article.
You got that big energy.
Right. Like, what? for a friend. So,
for me.
Y'all is crazy,
girl. They came 400 white men. The entire, oh,
they was running deep.
The, oh my entire God, police department.
Uh-huh.
Entirety.
Pretty much. Like, if you imagine what our police department
is. For Wilmington. Yeah. The entirety for Wilmington. Yep. Came up on they steeds.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Boone into the front.
Right.
And they was like, send him down.
Uh-huh.
White man up in the window said, he ain't here no more. They was like, he ain't here no more. No,
I don't believe.
Mind you, white man from the window was, yeah, like, he ain't here no more. Tell me why they burnt that building down with the people in it.
Wow.
For letting them run that article. To this day, that burnt lot still sits in Wilmington. Nothing's been built over it.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to visit that.
Me too.
Girl, when that's, I say I'm mad, when I, I'm not mad.
It is.
But even like all these slave,
I'm mad too, because one thing about it, like, no, like, seriously, I, one thing I never could get with is the, like, the black men bashing train, the black men hating train.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
I love black men, because I ain't gonna date a white man, so that's just,
I'm never dating a white man.
First of all, I don't want nothing wrong. I like my stuff nice and
cooked.
They're all hot.
And I just, I can't get with it, like, even with all the complaining that people are doing about black men, like, yes, some of it is true.
Yeah,
yeah.
They worse them. They get on my nerves. They don't have their lives together. They need to do better.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean, they still mine, and I'm still theirs, and that's
what, and that's what I'm saying. Like, and I really cannot stand when the world try to demonize black men. Like,
it happens every day.
I really don't like that. I really don't.
So what you gonna do to change this, sis?
Keep fucking them. What you mean?
Okay. Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding.
You better be writing this down.
I'm
you
playing.
Better be writing this down. No, I'm playing. Playing. I just a black heart on that pocket tee.
Girl, no.
I got my 15.
If
ready.
You know me, you know that is not all that I am doing. That was just a classic Chrissy remark.
Keep fucking.
Very classic.
But I mean, that just went so perfectly right there. But no, I mean, I don't. There's a lot that I'm doing. And one of them is when I see people doing that shit, like, especially on social media, I really don't fuck with that shit. When they try to bash black men, I will stop somebody from doing that. Or I'll at least try to engage in conversation,
mm-hmm,
and be like, well, you know, you're bashing black men, but at the end of the day, you know, we are all we got. We have to protect each
literally
other.
Literally, we have to protect our black people. So, mm-hmm, like, it's so, like, honestly, I'm scared to go by myself places anymore. Like, yeah, it's so stressful out here. Like, exactly. Being black is not hard. Like, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I said not hard. It is definitely hard.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of an ending, though. I mean, we all we have is each other.
We do.
I'm weak. This is your teaser.
Put your strap.
Fuck that. Get a gun. Everybody needs to have a gun.
Maybe. Okay.
Yes. Everybody needs to have a gun.
This is a 380.
That's my favorite.
Got the night vision.
That's what I started on.
Yes.
She is holding it like.
Because you got gun rules.
Thank you, baby.
You never pointed at someone.
Right.
Keep
your finger on the trigger until you're ready.
Exactly.
Yep. Thank you, baby.
Very loaded. Very loaded.
Yes.
I also carry extra clip with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gotta be. It's only 7 in here, but I mean, I've got more than enough to kill. Some shit. Mm-hmm. Now, personally, I can eat hollow points.
380 and a 22.
We want that. That's, we want that gun to, you know, just that bullet to stay in them.
She's showing us her gun, you all.
Yes, because, you know, it's imperative that y'all get these guns.
It is imperative before they take away our right to do so.
Right. Honestly.
And now
before
that,
the bird is coming.
And honestly, what do they call themselves? That new party that's, like, mirroring themselves after the Panther Party?
NFAC?
NFAC. Now, oh, yeah. NFAC, that's coming quick. But like, they already started.
Just
I fuck with them, though. The NFAC?
No, I'm saying they're starting to write the bills to try to take away
our. Oh, to stop that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Take away our rights.
No, I watch their live streams every day.
Let me
every day.
So, I'm going to just say this with the NFAC.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is, I don't like people talking to the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem I have. Like,
they're going to Kentucky, but they've already
talked to the cops. What are you talking about the cops for? It's gonna be peaceful. It's peaceful, then keep it peaceful. You don't have to fucking talk to them.
Yeah, so, I agree.
That's my problem with that. So, and I have intel from Kentucky, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't like that. Because I was going to go back out there. That's why I wasn't going to be here today. But then I was like, nah, I'm going to just stay.
Stay and watch.
Because when he was like, oh, yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to be down there, but I'm going to be out there. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't do cops. I'm never going to ask for the right to protest. That's why.
Same, like, I don't understand talking to cops either. Down at that beach. Even when we were at the beach.
I was like, all right, we're going
to
go
Even when we were at the protest at the beach, I kept having to tell people, you know, stop engaging in conversation with them. Because number one,
we don't do that.
You know what I'm saying? So why are you doing that? And I was talking to the white allies too, trying to explain to them, like, just stop engaging in conversation with them.
When you do try to have a conversation with a fucking cop, they always talk in circles. They never know what the fuck they're saying.
Chief,
they're always gonna back their.
Chief Boone, back the blue. Chief Boone,
back the blue.
Ooh, Chief Boone.
What was his name? Y'all, I came across a story, not a story because it's true. Came across
an article.
Yeah, they were discussing it on one of my little channels that I be watching. There was this officer who was the model officer. Like we don't like them, but he was the model officer. Like really wanted. To make change in the community.
Did he though?
Go ahead. No, like legit. Like when he was coming up through school, he didn't even have an idea of being a cop. He just knew he wanted to make change in his community. You know, did really well in school. Somebody put him on into criminal justice. He went through that channel. Model motherfucking officer.
Yep.
Right? An anonymous police officer was quoted stating, when he first joined the command, the unit here at the station, he was every cop's bright future. The officer that you would want to come into your precinct and be a fresh, you know, perspective. Anonymous, right? Another anonymous police officer was quoted stating there were absolutely no problems with him when he came in. He was a beacon of light for the community. All right. So here we go.
Give us the tea.
This police officer is doing his job as a police officer with four other police officers and happened to come across someone who looked like they was throwing down their drugs and getting the fuck because they seen the boys, you know? Something that they happened to come across many, many, many times before.
Right.
So you would think they were well-versed, they were practiced, they knew what to do. In this instance, right?
Okay.
The man who dropped down his drugs, fleeing from the police, as you know, in the ghetto, y'all be trying to take shortcuts.
Who is y'all? Sightline.
Sightline?
Sightline.
Am I not speaking to y'all? Am I not speaking to the audience? Y'all know who y'all are. Ooh. Y'all all be taking shortcuts. Y'all know.
All
that y'all know
that be on the castle in the alleyway.
Already got the wires cut.
And
you know which backyards got the wood missing.
Which one got the rabbit dog?
I'm saying, like, y'all know y'all which one got the
pitfalls.
Okay? Y'all know. I've taken a couple shortcuts.
You ain't gonna be antagonizing my audience.
I've taken a couple shortcuts.
We do what the fuck we got to do, okay? Like,
anyway. By any
means. We do what the fuck we got to do around here, okay?
Okay, if we know, then we know. If you know, you know.
Period.
He is trying to take a shortcut through someone's home. What he did not know was the home that he was taking the shortcut through happened to be owned by a police officer that was from that unit.
Okay.
Off duty at the time, away from the home. Now, model officer and his other four officers, they go, they arrest the man. It's perfect arrest. They did nothing wrong up to this point, right?
Okay.
Start taking him back to the precinct. Now, here is where shit gets me hot. They're taking him back to the precinct. And one of the officers, because, you know, the man's wife was home when the man went through the house. So she had to file a police report for this. So one of the officers back at the precinct who was helping her file the police report notified the off-duty officer whose home it was. He calls one of the other four officers and was like, turn the car around. bring them back to the house. Mm-hmm. This is called hashtag good old boy justice. Mm-hmm. Okay? They bring him back to the house. Now, our actual good old boy, our officer that's doing his job is like, wait a minute, Tim, Jerry, this ain't right. We need to take him to the precinct. Like, he's already been arrested.
Right.
We need to continue what we're doing. They're like, nah. We just gonna take him back real quick and then take him to the precinct. So he's in the ride along position, like, well, I ain't behind the wheel. I got to go. So he goes. And he goes with the full intention of, I am just going to be a witness to what happens. Okay? What happens is they do good old boy justice. They beat the shit out of this man.
Of course.
Beat the shit out of this man and then put him back in the back of the car, blacked out. Mm. And the official police report states, as we were driving to the precinct, the man who was arrested asked to go back to the home to apologize to the homeowner for startling
her.
What is
this for?
And so we went back to the home. When he went to apologize, the off-duty officer who had arrived at the home was there, and the man felt threatened and headbutted this off-duty officer.
Oh, my God.
So we had to tackle him and get him back into da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that don't even sound like
a bunch of bullshit, okay?
Take him back to the precinct. Book him. Our model police officer goes up his chain of command. This police report is incorrect. It's fraudulent. This is not what happened. This is what happened. Mm-hmm. Chief of police says, I'll take care of it. Mm. Next day, he's fired.
That's what usually happens.
He took care of it.
He is on video recording stating, like, what do you mean I'm fired? Isn't this what you wanted? Aren't we supposed to be doing our job as police officers? Doesn't that mean something's wrong that we say that something is wrong? And his boss replies to him, no, we do what's good for us. Mm-hmm. And when something ain't right with us, it ain't right with none of us. Mm. And he said, what is this, some type of gang?
Yeah, I mean,
quote, from that episode, what is this, some type of
gang?
And it's always been a gang. It has always been the boys in blue.
That's what I'm saying. And that goes back, bring full circle back around to what RJ always be saying at the protests. He always says this shit. Because
so when you see black men, white men, it ain't the color, it's the boys in blue, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Slave patrol.
And it's the biggest gang in history. Well, you know, and they will always continue to terrorize us. That is why we need to defund them and dismantle the police.
I protect you. Who protects us?
I protect me.
Exactly.
I protect me.
Yeah, because a lot of people get confused when we say that. And it's like,
who protects us?
Exactly.
Originally, and if you look at different communities across the world, community protects community.
That's what I'm saying. We don't need your protection. We need protection
really
from you.
Look at how you got them Crips out there in front of that lady's house every night.
Yeah.
Crips.
Yeah,
I
just emphasis on Crips.
Yeah, with Jennifer.
It was
Like, we've lost the sense of neighborhood. We've lost the sense of community within America.
I don't think we've lost it. I think the government just took it away.
Yeah, it got shifted around a little bit.
It's government and it's media is portraying that that stereotype, you know, that we are violent, that we are all these things, and
that we're so different from each other when we're really not. All people really want is to do things for their family, be safe,
just make a way.
We all want the same shit.
We all just want to grow and make
black
same,
person
bro.
Is not any different from a lot of these other communities, like,
sure.
But the thing is that we're the ones who face the oppression, so of course we're gonna fucking speak on it. Like, you never want to silence anybody, and if they're saying that there's an itch that needs to be scratched, pay attention to that person. If it was your own child, you would say, oh my God, Jimmy, what the fuck happened to your knee?
Right.
You see the black community struggling, y'all like, oh, I know it's wrong, but at the same time, I privileged from it, so.
I don't really care.
But, yeah, like, getting back to, I guess, community and
I mean, that's just the way that it's always gonna be. And I can attest, like, even when shit has gone sour for me, which has been a lot of times, I've never in my life called the police on anybody.
Do you know?
I've never called police on anybody.
This boy climbed my balcony on my graduation day, May 2nd. Mm. That next morning, he climbed my balcony. And I didn't even call the police on him. He called the police on him.
What?
Yeah, that's a whole other story. But yes, I'm going to call the police on you just because I wanted to make him leave. I'm like, okay, he's going to leave. He called the police on himself. That's how much I don't like the police. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I didn't have a gun then. I should have shot. If I had a gun, he would have probably been dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's just never been a thought of mine to call the cops on somebody. Especially on a black man, like... Mm-hmm.
I'd rather call Bobby, Daquan.
I'd rather call some niggas and let them beat your ass. Exactly. Like, before I call the fucking police. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not even that serious. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's some serious shit to happen to me. But still, like, I've never called the cops.
It's never my first.
It's never my
call.
Yeah.
Like, and if the cops, I don't even think I've ever had to call, like, anyway, call cops for something I've had done. Yeah, no.
Now they condition that, though.
Yeah,
that is supposed to be the first thing, you know.
But I mean, even for the shit that they say that you should call the police about, like rape and shit like that,
they don't do anything.
They don't do anything about that shit. Like, they don't. So,
and then with like stolen property and stuff like that, the police don't even take time to look for people's stolen property and shit. Like, so all the reasons that we're supposed to call the police, like, a lot of that shit ends up falling through. Like, who are y'all really serving and protecting? Exactly. You're only doing it for your own agendas. Bitch. And agendas that come up from higher up on the fucking list that come down to you. Like, exactly. Any other chain of command corporate fucking job.
That's right.
Like,
that's,
right. That's pretty much how it is.
I've never called police on anybody, and I never will. There's one way to handle it or another.
Mm-hmm. That's just sad. Because it's not even... You said any other chain of... Like, any other corporate job. But it's really not. It's like... is really militarized. Their system for doing things, especially down to what their titles are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that chief of police, there's chief police for me in the military. Like, everything comes down, even down to their titles. It's mm-hmm. all militarized. And I'm like, you know, like, where was there ever a need to militarize our local law enforcement?
Yeah.
When you think of what a military, like, what the definition of military is,
what it's supposed to be for,
what their purpose is,
that's not neighborhood.
It's
neighborhood safety
for anything local. It's for foreign threats. Mm-hmm. And if you have a local entity who is serving and protecting that locale,
mm-hmm.
none of the threats within that locale are foreign.
Right.
So what is the need to militarize?
If you don't see no right here, why are you in riot gear?
Why are you in riot gear?
You don't see no right here, why are you in riot gear? Why?
I mean, like, that's dead ass, though. Because they was really on the interstate in full riot gear, pointing fucking rifles and shit at us. So.
And why?
Trying to intimidate people.
Or incite.
And incite violence. So that they can incite even more violence.
So, I mean, there's that on that.
Mm. I haven't found a loophole in that.
I believe that the police should be defunded and dismantled.
I believe in doing the same personally. I'm okay with that. I think who protects us, we protect us. And that's one period.
And that's that. This has been another wonderful episode of Black Hearts Club Radio. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please let the people know where they can follow you on Instagram.
Oh, yes. We're on Instagram at TheUnderground1865. It's spelled just like that. We're on Twitter as well, Underground1865. We're on Facebook even, TheUnderground1865, LLC. I'm on Instagram at RealWorldChanger. It's spelled like that. We're really out here changing the world. And that's on that. Thanks for having me, y'all. I'm honored.
And I got one more question.
Uh-oh, wait a minute.
She got one more.
If somebody wanted to join Underground 1865, what would be the process?
So that's... I can't tell you the process.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
So you definitely want to DM the Instagram page. You can talk about your interests and stuff. There is like a nice vetting process. A lot of people don't. So we haven't actually been having new people because of just a lot of things I noticed. And I was like, as a leader, I just need to have more clarity as far as what I want and how I want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you can DM me. We are looking for real people. Like, the vetting process isn't easy. So I'm not going to lie and say, like, you're just going to wake up and be in the underground, because I have to be able to build a rapport and trust you.
So, but you can DM us at theunderground1865 or send us an email at theunderground1865@gmail.com. Express your interest. Tell us a little bit about yourself, why you're a part of this, if you really about it, because we're about it. We don't want people that's not going to die for this. We don't want people that's scared to get arrested. Mm-hmm. We don't want any pussies, okay? And that's that.
And if you are still interested in participating in protests and other things, you can always tap into my Instagram or Black Hearts Club page. Yep. And we have all types of ways that people can contribute and be involved. Because I know everybody is not at the same level.
Exactly.
It doesn't make you pussy. It just means that you have other things to...
And no, I really do. I'm really joking about that.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I should totally clarify that because everyone doesn't know me, so they don't know that I'm, like, really just... But to clarify for your people, too, it's important that you know that. I'm joking. The Underground 1865 isn't just, like, oh, you have to do the run down, be on the front line. We do need people that are willing to community organize. We do need people that are willing to protest. We need people that will just go around and collect donations for us. Yeah. So there's a place for everyone in this movement. Mm-hmm. Don't ever feel like there's not a place. We need people that are obviously about our movement, though, and our cause and have the same missions aligned. So, yes, we definitely need... Some people just need to be decoys. Everybody don't know everything, so we do need decoys. We do need people like that. So I'm totally joking, but we just want to make sure that the people that we are rounded up and getting on our team are people that are really dedicated to this. Even if you're an ally, which we call you an accomplice, because if you're not going down with us, it ain't no point in you sitting here saying you're an ally. You know, you're in friendship with us. You know, it was a lot of white people that got arrested with me in Louisville.
And that's just that. You guys can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Black Hearts Club, no and black. Check out the website, www.blackheartsclub.com. Again, no A in black. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.